This morning we'll be reciting text 14 from the second chapter, first canto, and discussing the two verses on either side. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmat ekena manasa. Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi. Shrotavya kirtitavyascha yeya pujascha nityada. Translation: therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. And purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. If realization of the Absolute Truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above-mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely, glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life, especially in modern society. All activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified, truly or falsely, in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man in no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of Janmadyasya Sloka of this Bhagavatam. That's the first sloka, by the way. The tendency to glorify others or to hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being. And that will bring happiness. End of purport. Tasmade kena manasa bhagavan satvatam patihi shrotavya kirti tabhyasya jaya pujascha nityada. Therefore, tasmat. So, because the verse is beginning with therefore, it means it's referring to at least the previous verse or the previous set of verses. And the previous verse is another therefore. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded. The sutta is building a case, and here's like the conclusion. therefore. So how should, we were discussing yesterday about prescribed duties. And what should be the target? And what should be the consciousness behind those prescribed duties? So, text 14, the one just before this, is doing a summarize. This is like a broad stroke, broad brush stroke, just covering all the four varnas and all the four ashrams. The highest perfection that one can achieve by discharging the duties of one's varna and ashram is what? What's that highest perfection that one can achieve? Pleasing the personality of Godhead. So that's the target. And that's the consciousness. So that's the overall target and consciousness, and now the method, means to achieve that, is here. Therefore, tasmat, ekena manasa, this single-pointed attention. Single-pointed attention can mean not other processes, like Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nas Teva, Not. The other processes that are recommended for the age, for different ages, are not appropriate. Or it can mean there's no other deity or no other point of attention for one's consciousness than Krishna. May sound like, well, what about everybody else and everything else? You gotta be open-minded. You have to be liberal and broad thinking. There's one person who just stopped practicing Krishna consciousness for that reason. He thought, this is too narrow. I like this one, I like that one. I grew up worshipping, you know, multiple. And so, this exclusive thing, I want to be broad-minded. I don't want to... He stopped practicing Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion that bhakti is exclusive, or love is exclusive. It's like a woman saying, oh, I love so many men. There may be appreciation for many men, but it's not the same for many men. That's called a prostitute. So, love is exclusive. But, the good news is, when that love is directed to the source of all existence, automatically that love is all-inclusive. It's exclusive, and as a result, all-inclusive. Something like Prabhupada's explanation at the last verse in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Shradhavan Bhajate Yumam Samayuktatamom Mataha. The topmost form of yoga is where one is exclusively giving one's devotion to Krishna. The Prabhupada explains, Respect is for everybody. Worship is for Krishna. Respect is for everyone. Worship is for Krishna. Bhaj doesn't, it means more than even just worship. It specifically means engaging the senses and activities in relation to the master of the senses. It's practical, in other words, not just a feeling. Bhakti is not just something that you feel. It's something that you do. Practical activity. To purify the senses and exhibit those feelings through practical activity. And so the practical activity is tasmat ekena manasa. Or, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mind fixed upon me, engage in your prescribed duties. It's twofold. Mind fixed upon me, engage in your prescribed duties. Don't just fix your mind upon me in meditation and do nothing. Or don't just do something and your mind is improperly placed. Both, but when bhakti is awakened, it's a natural principle that gross follows the subtle. So bhakti is not just moderating, manipulating our behaviors out there, what we do and don't do. It's purifying the seat of consciousness, the soul itself. Yes? And then those activities will flow, naturally so. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan satvatam patihi. Bhagavan is the patihi of the satvatam. He's the protector of his devotees. Those who do this ekena manasa. I think in the past week, maybe less than a week, past 4 or 5 days, I've had some well-intentioned people giving some advice. Don't be so humble. People will take advantage of you. Have you heard that kind of advice? But Krishna is the protector of those who are his humble devotees. Who's better? My protection or Krishna's protection? Krishna protects his devotees. It doesn't mean that one is foolish or, you know, asleep at the wheel. But one should have a clear sense. Surrender means there's a clear sense that Krishna is my protector. And Krishna will supply intelligence how to act in the proper way that Krishna's protection will be certain. So it doesn't mean, okay, Krishna's my protector, so it's rush hour and I go walking right through traffic and on the highway because Krishna's my protector. Or I have some service. It says some foolishness. We don't, that's not a sign of thinking that Krishna is one's protector. It's a sign of foolishness. So, if we're carrying out our duties in a responsible manner, so in responsible manner means according to theistic conduct, if we're carrying out our duties according to theistic conduct, then there's this, as Prabhupada says in the purport, there's this general occupation, there's this something that everybody does. So there are specific duties for each varna, each ashram, each person, our svadharma. Then there's something that's general that everybody does. Shrotavya, kirtitavyascha, dyeya, pujas, chanityada. So the way to create that situation where the mindfulness of Krishna is always, always, always in your consciousness, even in the disturbing atmosphere of the workplace, or speaking more broadly, Kali Yuga. The billboards and the advertising and the commercialism and consumerism and the pollution and the all that yucky stuff. How do you stay? Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan satvatam. Krishna's protection is there, but he gives his protection when we take up these proper means. The very same activities that everybody else is doing, we just make Krishna the object of that activity. Shrotavya kirtitavyasya dhyaya pujashtanichada. I don't know what's going on in India today, but I know what's going on in America today. Just as Prabhupada is describing in the purport. Some political figure, some obscure person, is all of a sudden becoming like the leading contender to become the President of the United States. How is that? Money, 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 money. And that's how the people that are watching, it's not like who's right and who's wrong, it's who's got the money, money, money. And so then they plaster and people that were, it's pujas. They're worshiping these folks. Big banners, big slogans, they get on stage and, whoa. They can't even say a whole sentence. The phrase is part of a sentence and it's worship. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Except they don't say Hari Bol. And some obscure senator from the state of, a junior senator from the state of Illinois, all of a sudden is the leading contender to become the President of the United States. So, I asked, somebody asked me at one gathering, should we be following what's going on in all this? This was in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. So, home program in some home, and someone said, should we be, you know, paying attention to all this stuff? All, you know, the arguments and the debates that are going on. And my comment was, well, you may want to, just so that you're aware of the climate, you might want to, you know, put up a finger and see which way the wind is blowing. But, it, you know, we shouldn't absorb our consciousness in all of that. What we should absorb our consciousness in is, just like the, you know, the nice community here in the Washington area, let's make our relationship, let's become pure and make our relationships in Krishna consciousness very strong, loving relationships, and that's where our attention should go. You know which way the wind is blowing. And I discussed with Sridhananda Maharaj, because I know he has a penchant for such things. Then, do you think I gave, would you have given a different answer to a question like that? His reply was, I'm following the debates very carefully, but I wouldn't vote for any of these people. You know, he's sharpening his intellect because that's the gift that Krishna has given him, a very sharp intellect. To see which direction these people are going and the type of arguments they're making and, you know, what's the mood in America today. But who can vote for any one of those people? The purpose is not which is the best candidate that I'm going to vote for. We're not interested in stuff like that. Once Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, your movement is growing so fast here in America. So many persons are becoming your followers. Maybe one day you'll become elected the President of the United States. Prabhupada just laughed. And we have no interest in these things. But if someone, if a devotee was to become president, we could give them some advice. Or if someone was wanting advice, we could give them We can take a brahminical position, but we're not interested in all of that stuff that they do. What we're interested in is to engage in the processes of hearing and chanting and remembering and worshiping of the personality of Godhead. And when we ekena manasa, we do those activities with very focused attention, what happens? Prabhupada explains in the purport what happens. Because the activities of the personality of Godhead are completely on the spiritual platform. When we fix our mind on such activities, our mind becomes fixed on the spiritual platform. The next verse, Chindanti Kovidas Tasya. This very, very difficult to over, not just difficult, practically impossible thing to overcome is fruitive tendency. Have you noticed? There's always, in big letters, always this baggage that we carry called what's in it for me. I'm going to do this because there's something. It's fruitive. It goes to me. Always that calculation is there as long as one's consciousness is contaminated by material influences. Rishabhdev gives this teaching. As long as the mind is in association with the modes of nature and holding a material conception of life, the mind is going to be colored, tainted. We'll see things in terms of this what's in it for me position. It's passion, fruitive, and held in position by ignorance, the bodily conception, the misconception of self as matter. And so I want to be happy, and so how do I get happy? I get something in the field of the material energy. We take that consciousness with us wherever we go, even into the realm of devotional service. What's in it for me consciousness? In other words, the real happiness of a loving relationship we don't experience. We've abandoned ourselves and went instead on the other side of that bridge called the bridge to illusion and accepted what we're not and trying to find happiness over there. Leaving behind our real happiness, which is the happiness of Krishna, our loving relationship with Krishna. And trying to find love in relationships with other persons or possessions or dogs. Or I was visiting in Guyana. It's a thing in Guyana. I haven't seen it anywhere else in the world. People walk along the street with little cages with birds inside the cage. That's a pet. Keep birds as a pet. So, each to each their own, right? Someone's got dogs, someone's got birds, someone's got so many things. As long as it's not Krishna. And trying to find happiness over there. And make so many elaborate arrangements for happiness. And elect somebody to be the president in charge of that world of illusion, where the real position of happiness is abandoned. There's no happiness. So Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, and that will bring real happiness. That will bring real happiness is when we take this universal tendency to hear about something, speak about something, worship something, remember something, and put Krishna in that something position. But that's what the Bhagavatam is for. Those who become very accustomed through reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, something happens. That something happens is purification and another taste. The other literature, the other stuff, cinema, songs and films and movies and the whole gamut of the marketplace. But this is not good for the gross national product, the goods and services of materialistic society. I guess we don't promote it specifically that way, but that's what happens. It's one of the reasons that as commercialism advances, spirituality goes down, or why the Western so-called developed countries looked upon India as backwards because it was just not advancing in the realm of commercialism. Well, that's changing now very fast, but so is also the spirit of religious tradition, because a lot of religious tradition has been mindless, just imitating without any real deep understanding. The Bhagavatam is calling for deep understanding, and so that it's on the platform of the soul. And so it doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. It doesn't matter how advanced Kali Yuga is becoming, because we have the shelter of Krishna. And with that shelter of Krishna, there's real happiness. And we're not going to leave that real happiness for anything. And we can have real loving relationships because we have that connection with Krishna. But the opening sentence of the purport is, I want to emphasize this and end with it. If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. So not on the side, not secular. You know what this word secular means? Secular means you divide church and state, that kind of an idea. You do this for God and that for your family and state. And, you know, your worldly part of your life is over here, the religious part of your life is over here, and you divide the two. So much for God, so much for me. So much for God, so much for me. You separate church and state. The Bhagavatam isn't like that. The Bhagavatam is you do this, you do the state, and God's at the center. Engaging in prescribed duty and always think of me. Ekena manasa. With the sense that Krishna is my protector. This is my goal. To reach the goal, he's going to protect me. We feel that protection. There's always some challenge. Some wave of the material energy comes that seems to be pushing us away from that focus. That's nice, actually. It's just an opportunity to take deeper shelter. And it's easy to say. It's another thing to take deeper shelter when that wave comes. But when you take deeper shelter when the wave comes, you get a sense that was what Krishna wanted. It's like there's so many pastimes in which Krishna creates some difficulty. Like, very nice one. When Krishna came out of the Kaliya Lake, all the residents of Vrindavan were in such anxiety from the Kaliya Leela because it was a complete role reversal. Normally, they're in difficulty, they call out for Krishna, and he fixes the problem. This time, Krishna's in the problem. How are they going to call out to Krishna to fix the problem? Because he's got the problem. He's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. all day long. So finally, after he gets out of the coils of the Kaliya serpent and dances on his hoods and smashes his hoods and purifies Kaliya, and the wives come and offer their prayers, and Kaliya becomes purified by the bashing of Krishna's feet, and he offers his prayers, Krishna sends him away. Leave his lake, go back to Ramanaka, and you can live there. And Garuda won't bother you now, because you've got the mark of my feet on your head, and Garuda will leave you alone. But Krishna comes out of the Kaliya lake, and their anxiety is over. Krishna solved the problem. So they embrace him, and the cowherd boys are saying, "Oh, wow, you're the best dancer. Well done." Then Krishna decides, "It's so late in the evening. Let us just stay here by the side of the river Jamuna, instead of going all the way back to Nandagram. Let's just stay here. Beautiful scene by the side of the Jamuna River." But that very night, there was a forest fire. And Krishna saved them from the forest fire. He told them, "Close your eyes and swallow the forest fire." Krishna creates situations, even in Vrindavan, what to speak of this place, where it looks like, oh, something terrible. And then what do the devotees do? "Krishna! Satvatam patihi, oh Krishna!" And Krishna gives his protection. Every time, without fail. So we're not purified yet. So our tribulations aren't like what they experience in Vrindavan. They're small time compared. But to us, they look big. Big. Like, whoo, big. But if we keep our consciousness fixed, ekena manasa upon Krishna, it's another opportunity for purifying ourselves further and realizing the ever-present protection of Krishna. It's like that. It's like that. So it doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing or how strong it's blowing. We may want to know, like Prabhupada was once asked, Srila Prabhupada, is it okay to have your astrological chart done? And Prabhupada's answer was, "You might want to know if it's going to rain today. Should you take your umbrella?" That was his answer. But it really doesn't. Not so important. If it's going to rain, you may carry your umbrella. You may not carry your umbrella. Whatever it's going to be today, or this year, or this period of my, you take shelter of Krishna. And the occupational activity, so that's the previous, this section is about the occupational work that we do, that which, at least in material way of thinking, maintains us, although the spiritual way of thinking is Krishna is maintaining me. Krishna is my maintainer. It's one of the items of surrender. Krishna is my maintainer. I'm doing some work, but Krishna is my maintainer. That's Krishna consciousness. That's surrender. Krishna is my shelter. Krishna is my protector. Krishna is my maintainer. He's my best friend. So, work, occupational work is to be done, not for material gain, that was our verse yesterday, but for ultimate liberation, for being with Krishna. To work in such a way that I'm with Krishna at work. Krishna is with me. My thoughts are with Him. I'm being purified by thinking of Him. And now it goes to this, besides this particular work that each one of us does, the universal thing that we all do. Hear, chant, remember, and worship. Some people may say, I don't worship. That's so prominent here, but it'll become like that, because that's what's going on over there. There's this saying, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Or somebody is not religious, but they're spiritual. What does that mean? It means they don't follow anything. Because that's what religious is. You follow the codes of religion, or the conduct of religion, or the rituals of some religion. They don't do any of those things. They're just spiritual. And today, that means, at best, mode of goodness. I say at best because it's not really mode of goodness. It's really ignorance. But the sense of, you know, they're kind to other people and so forth, they do philanthropic work, that's spiritual. Anyway, things are such a blur of ignorance and passion. So the clarity is coming for those that take shelter of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan satatam pativi shrotavya kirtitavyascha dhyaya pujascha nityada. This is our mandate. Okay, any discussion or questions? This morning, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
For a pure devotee, he has exclusive love and devotion to Krishna. But for Krishna, he has so many devotees, so whose love is greater?
A pure devotee is completely fixed upon Krishna.
From Krishna's perspective, he has so many devotees, so whose love is greater?
So on one side of the pan scale, we have Krishna's love for his devotees, and the other side we have the devotees' love for Krishna. Whose love is greater? That's your question? Where did that question come from? Well, this is one of these transcendental questions that one could make the argument, easily make the argument that Krishna's love is supreme. Because He's the supreme. Who can love? Who has the capacity of love equal to or greater than Krishna? Prabhupada so many times would say, He is asamurdva. Asama and aurdva. There's no one equal to or greater than Him. No one could end with that. Krishna's love is greater. But one might also argue that because the object of love for the devotee is Krishna, Krishna values both two things. Because the object is Krishna, that love is greater, and because Krishna accepts that love, that makes the love greater. But then when Krishna sees the love of his devotees, his happiness and his love increases. So it's this never-ending, transcendental competition. Whose love is greater, Radha's love for Krishna or Krishna's love for Radha? We'll have to let Krishna decide that one. Krishna thinks that the love of Radha is greater. So much so that he wants to experience it. the happiness that she feels in her love exceeds the happiness he feels in his love for her. He wants to experience that. A nice question. Thank you. Something else? Okay. Thank you very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.